If you have your Bibles, would turn with us to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 13, verse 13. I believe with all my heart that God is getting ready to do a great work. Now, what's got to happen is for those of us in the church to get to the basics, follow what we have for our theme this year. Do that that is necessary, accomplish that that is possible, and we will see the impossible. And I believe it can happen. Amen? If we can just catch that and let it begin to permeate within us and get to the basics of what God wants us to do. Do you realize what would happen if everybody in this church spent half as much time praying and reading the Bible as we do fiddling with our phones? Alabaster would just turn upside down with an anointing and a revival. Amen. Yeah. Because I got some amen in me, some saying, you off on that again? Yeah. I don't know about y'all, but I have a lot of wasted time today getting emails and phone calls from people that don't mean nothing. I'm tired of finding out that my warranty's running out on my car that I sold 3 years ago. Glory. I keep getting phone calls. We're calling you about the warranty running out on your car. I don't care. I don't own it no more. Let it run out. Glory. Do y'all get those kind of calls? You know, they've opened up now where your cell phone's free call. They got all that info, and they can call your cell phone all day long with these goofy things. And the bad part about it is they use regular numbers. It ain't an 800 number. I'm getting phone calls from Bessemer, Alabama, from somebody in California because they're calling through some phone thing over there. And I'm getting numbers from Bessemer telling me that they're wanting to help me with my warranty. Got one last week wanting to refinance my house. Yeah, don't know nothing about me, but we can save you hundreds of dollars and give you $60,000 back. And I started to call them. I want the $60,000, but we'll stop there. Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. We're in a sermon series called Getting Back to the Basics. And what I'm dealing with right now is the remaining three. These are things Paul said are important for the Christian life. The last couple of weeks I've been talking about faith, and faith is very important because it is a citadel of what we do. Without faith, we can't really accomplish anything in God. The Bible said without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And if we come to God, we must first believe that He is, and then we got to believe He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. That all requires faith. And if we have faith, we can believe God for great things. But the problem we have in the church world is that we've got so many people writing books on faith with no biblical perspective. They tell you if you believe God, you can just call a car into existence. Hello? And we got people that are doing that. They're sitting around waiting on that car to drive up in the yard. And we call it faith because we deny the fact that we got a problem and we show that's faith. Hello? The doctor tells you you got a problem and you go, I'm not going to accept that. Well, that's denial. That's not faith. Real faith is that, okay, now I've got this problem. I'm going to deal with it because I've got a God that can take care of it, because faith is not in what I can accomplish, but the faith I have is in a God that can accomplish it. Real faith is like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When the king looked up and said, now, we're going to put you in that furnace, and we're going to fire you from your job if you don't do what the memorandum said. Hello? Well, what's that? You're going to have to bow down and worship me when they play the music, and if you'll do that, then you can keep your jobs, you can keep your houses, you can keep your clothes, but if you don't bow down, we're putting you in that furnace over there. And he turned around, told the guy, said, turn the heat up 7 times hotter than it's supposed to even be able to burn. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's faith didn't say, oh, it ain't no fire. It ain't no fire. No, it's not a fire. I mean, let's face it, they could feel the heat from the fire. They didn't turn around and say, okay, let's worship. Then maybe later on we can believe in God. They didn't even have to discuss it. They said, okay, we are not careful. You know what that means? We don't even have to discuss it. We're not worried about it. We don't have to think about it. We don't have to get over and have a meeting about it. We already understand our God whom we serve. It's going to keep us in that fire, bring us out of that fire, or take us to heaven if we don't come out. And they said, King, you do what you got to do, but our God is who we're depending on, and my God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly and above of all you'd ever ask or think. Church, some of us has got to realize it is not a great faith I need. I just need faith in a great God. And if I've got faith in a great God, I can move mountains. If I got faith in a great God, I can see great healings. Could you say amen? The Bible tells us that the first of these is faith. And we need faith. Faith is something we've got to have. One man said faith is like a muscle. If you don't use it, it deteriorates. But the more you use it, the stronger it gets. Amen. You ever notice you believe God for the little things? It's not so hard to believe him. Something big comes along. But if you ain't been practicing on the little stuff, when the big stuff comes along, it kind of overwhelms you. Hello? What the world needs to see is not a bunch of people denying that there's a problem, but it needs to see people that faces that problem saying, hey, I've got a God who is able. Come on, church. They need to see people that don't run to God about their mountains, but starts running to the mountains about their God. Amen. Glory. They didn't turn around to the king saying, wait a minute, I need somebody to put out the fire. They just simply looked at the king and said, our God, the God we were serving when we came to work for you, the God we were serving when you gave us these jobs, the God that put us where we are right now is going to take care of us. And if he don't, we don't really care, because no matter how it happens, we got it covered, because that same God that could take care of us if he decides not to is going to give us everlasting life because we served him and we're going to follow him. Church, if you've got it covered, it doesn't matter what the outcome is. I know who holds my future, and I know where I'm going to end up when it's all over. And that's the kind of faith we've got to have if we make it in this world. See, we people talk about faith community. They're talking about churches, groups of people. But have you ever noticed in every one of us there's a community? See, as good as we'd like to try to be, every one of us has anxieties. Come on, I see something right now. I'm a preacher. I took my medicine this morning. Glory. Like that's all there is to get rid of your anxiety. Every one of us has anxieties. See, in you could be the Bible, faith in God, and all that stuff, but next door you got anxiety living. Then you got the household of doubt on the other side. Uncle Depression lives in a trailer in the backyard because we're trying to take care of him because he's depressed. And Sister Fear comes by to check in on us every so often to make sure that we don't forget she exists. And if we're going to have faith, we've got to have the ability to change every household in the community that exists in us. Amen. I get so tickled, young people get to make fun of me. You scared the dark. Every one of you scared the dark. Just depends on how much dark it takes to get you scared. Come on, church. Now, I'm not scared of much dark, but you get me in the right place, my subconscious cuts loose, it can mess you up. I remember telling somebody one time I wasn't scared of the dark, so they put me in a room, fixed it where there wasn't any light. Now I stayed there a while. It wasn't long. I started feeling stuff in the room. They knew what was going to happen. They thought it was funny, because when I started trying to get out that door and couldn't, I got excited. Because I realized I am scared of the dark. Just depends on how much dark it takes to get me scared. Every one of us has fear. It just doesn't matter how much it takes to get us to have fear. Some people, fear is very easy for you. You're afraid before you ever wake up. Some of you's afraid you're going to wake up. Hello? Some of you, you don't have to worry about depression. You're depressing. You ever been around somebody so depressed, they're depressed? I had a preacher come to me one time, and he started giving me all his problems. We're sitting in my office out there at Beulah. He was telling me about all the things going wrong. And he looked up and he said, "Brother, nobody wants to be around me." I said, "Just be honest with you, I'd just soon you leave myself." I said, "I was feeling good till you showed up. You just tore up every bit of my excitement for the day." Amen. But now, church, the reality, every one of us has some things in us that depress us, some things that give us anxiety, some things that gives us fear. And can I tell you, church, what we've got to understand? The Bible tells me in the book of Hebrews, it said that faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Amen. And when we get to Hebrews 11 and 1, we see that. Notice what it said. It is the evidence of things hoped for, the things not seen. What that means is faith is something that happens around me because I'm believing in God. That makes it a spiritual metaphor in my life that if I believe, I can believe that things I don't see can become real. I believe that things I haven't seen before can still happen. Hello? That's my ability to foresee that God is able to do it. But faith has to become something I choose to live in because it's a choice of mine as to how much faith I'm going to have. Everyone has a measure of faith, but if I'm going to have the faith to get by, I'm going to have faith that makes me an overcomer. And I've got to choose that faith. Amen. Could you say amen to that, church? Amen. Notice this. The Bible said, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. They didn't earn it. Oh, I'm just gonna live right. I've had people tell me I've been saved 40 years, ain't missed Sunday school in 40 years. And I'm like, well, that's wonderful. Yet they're still drinking and cussing and carrying on, but they're going to Sunday school. Glory. Come on, church. Well, you getting that? It ain't just the works that's gonna get you there. Let's face it, you go back and read that book of faith over there in the Bible. Most of those guys had some problems they had to deal with in their life. Abraham, boy, was a great guy, wasn't he? But when he got in a bind, he could tell a fib in a heartbeat. And don't come to me after church saying, "I preacher." And no, sir, he told the man, "That's not my wife, that's my sister." Because he didn't want to get killed because the dude wanted his wife. When he finally found out it was his wife, give him back to her. I don't know where y'all come from, but that's lying. But my Bible tells me Abraham became a friend of God. Why? Because he believed God. He had faith in God. And because of that, he overrode his problems and obtained a good report, even when he had a bad report. And can I tell you, I might not have had a great report in the early part of my life, but I'm getting a good report right now. Not because of who I am, but because of who he is. And because of who he is in my life, I've got a lot better report than I had when I got in the first part of this school. Glory. I don't know about y'all, but I flunked elementary school. In spirituality. I didn't have no problem with school. I played at school, made good grades. I liked school. I could go to school, cut up, play around, and still pass the test. Glory. It didn't bother me. I got kids, "I don't want to go to school." You work a little bit, you start liking it. Because you know what? Liking something or not liking it is a choice. Heard a preacher the other day, "I don't like my life." I said, "Change it." He said, "Well, I'm stuck in this job as a preacher." I said, "Then you need to get out of it." He said, "Do what?" I said, "You fall in love with what you're doing, you'll enjoy what you're doing no matter what you have to do, and it's a choice. I get up in the morning, this is a day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, not because everything's going to be great, but it's my choice to believe and my choice to receive, and I get up every morning saying, wait a minute, it doesn't happen. Whatever happens today, I'm going to work God in me. He's going to move, and we're going to have a great time." That is faith. That's believing God. I choose what I'm going to have happen. I'm going to deal with it. I choose how I'm going to make it. I can do this. Walk by faith and not by sight. Hello? Well, preacher, what good's that? Because it doesn't matter what I got in my sight, I still know God is able to get everything in the way and move it out of the way. I can look at the storm and say, wait a minute, he speak peace to the storm. Anytime he takes a notion to, he bring me through the boat, but if I drown, I'm going to make it anyway. It doesn't really matter. Hello? See, you see, faith becomes a choice. It becomes something I have to make happen within me. Come on, church. Some of y'all look at me like, well, wait a minute, preacher. That's not the... Yes, it is. If I sell out to God, I can choose to believe God. And when I choose to believe God, everything happens according to Scripture. Amen. What does that mean? If I walk by faith and not by sight, then I will have victory. Not because of who I am, but because of who He is. Amen. Faith that I obtain by listening to God and His Word. That kind of faith hooks me to God. But when I get hooked into God and I make a choice to live by faith, I'm not just hooked into God, I'm hooked into His character. And when I hook into His character, I begin to believe like He believes. I begin to walk like He walks. I begin to think like He thinks. And because of that, I'm an overcomer, not because of me, but because of Him. And I am an overcomer because of He who has loved me and set me. I can choose to be depressed, or I can choose to walk in faith. I can choose to be in fear, or I can choose to walk in faith. I can choose to suffer anxiety all the time. My wife will tell you I don't worry a lot, and if I start worrying, it worries her big time. Now, my wife worries. She's a worrier. Sometimes she worries me. She'll call me. Worried about something and get me worried. But that's the difference between mine and her makeup. I was raised by a dad that said 99% of what you worry about is going to happen anyway. You can't stop it, so why worry? All worrying against you is a bald head and a fat gut. Just think where I'd be if I worried. Glory. You see some of you right now checking your hair. Glory. I'm not a worrier. I can look at a bank account that's broke thinking sooner or later something's going to change. Come on, church. Don't look at me like y'all never wrote faith checks. Some things hoped for, the evidence things not seen. I wrote checks knowing if God didn't come through, they were bouncing, and I ain't bounced one yet. Why? Because I got a God that's going to provide for me. Come on, church. Amen. Some of y'all look at me and say, preacher, you advocate that? Well, as long as you're connected to God and you got faith, you can live that way. I'm not an advocate of not taking medicine. People try, oh, I believe God, I'm not going to take my medicine. Why? What kind of faith is that? If the doctor says I need it, that means I'm not healed yet. When Jesus healed people, he didn't tell them, you heal, go on and don't do nothing. He told them, do what? Go get a checkup. Why? Because that doctor may need to see what kind of God I am. And you may be the instrument I'm fixing to open his eyes with. Amen. Isn't it awesome when you see a doctor says, there ain't no cure for this, and then all of a sudden there's a cure, and they got to come back and explain to you? Huh? I remember Kirkland Clinic. There's nothing we can do for your wife. She's going to die in 15 years. Then that guy comes back in there. We don't know what she had, but she do not got it no more. Glory. Now, that's what that doctor needed to hear. He needed to know. You may not can do it, but I got a God in heaven who has the power, the grace, and the glory to do what we can't. Oh, come on, church. Amen. You take your medicine, go to the doctor. The doctor says you don't need to take it anymore. Then you quit taking it. But as long as he says, take it, take it. He knows more than you do about what you got going on. Smile. Somebody said, preacher, that's not good preaching. Yes, it is. Because we got too many people dying saying, God told me. God didn't tell you to not do that. He told you to go get checked. When he healed the lepers, what did he tell them to do? He said, go thou and be all right. He said, go to the priest. Why? Because that was the doctors of the day. Go let them give you a checkup. And when it's over with, when they pronounce you clean, everybody will know you clean. Amen. Come on, church. Amen. Right, I'm healed, I'm healed. And then 3 or 4 weeks later, you got to eat your words because you find out you really wasn't healed. You went to the doctor, he gave you a clean bill of health. Then you say, hey, I'm healed. Come on, church. Amen. New York City, Haitian Church, Eastern Harlem. Brother Emmanuel Dennis is a pastor. I go there to preach on a Sunday morning. Oh, you want to be lonely? I not only was the only person in there that wasn't of color, I was the only one who could speak French Creole. And they doing everything French Creole. And I'm sitting over in the corner going, whoa. I got 250-something people in this place packed in a little two-room apartment with a wall knocked out. I can't even move when I'm preaching because there's people all around me sitting on the floor. They're all doing French Creole, and my interpreter is up there, and he's supposed to be telling me what's going on, but this lady stands up to testify. And he gets to shout and then forgets me. And they all throw it down. I'm over there going, what are y'all shouting about? I'd like to get in this. Finally, he spins around and he said, oh, sister, had a problem. Going to send her to Los Angeles for surgery. We raised $35,000 for her to do so. Last week, she comes down, lays money, check on thing, and said, pastor, this will only save one old lady. But if we have three churches in Haiti that could save hundreds of people, send it to Haiti. And if God wants me to die, I die. If he don't want me to die, I live. I said, what happened? He said, she just fell on the floor. I said, what'd y'all do? He said, we took her to the hospital. Come on, Jesus, that's what we do. I said, what happened? He said, doctor come out, said, it's amazing. She don't need surgery. She's healed. Glory. Now, I look over in the back corner. I see a dude back there with slick hair, slick skin. He looks more out of place than I do, really, except he's dark. But he's up on the back of a folding chair. Any of y'all want to try this, I will gladly watch. We'll video it for YouTube. Dude was on a folding chair like we have back here in the kitchen, dancing. Because he ain't got nowhere else to dance. He gets up on the back of his chair. And it ain't lined up on the wall where it won't fall. He's out in the middle of the floor. I looked over the dude. I said, who is that? He said, that's her doctor. He's from India. He came to church, got filled with Holy Ghost. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Sometimes when I do things, God may be using me to reach somebody. And by faith, I've got to operate that that's what God's doing. And because of that, I believe that when God's time comes, God will take care of it and healing will take place. But I've got to choose to walk by faith, to live in faith. Somebody said, preacher, you left your outline. I ain't been on it since I started. I had my head wrapped around this thing. I don't know if y'all understand it or not, but in the 30-something years I've been evangelizing, I preached a lot of sermons on faith. The one thing I have found out, it's easy to sing about, and it's easy to talk about. But if we ever translate it from singing and talking to real life, it'll move mountains. It'll make water lay down in front of a boat so it rides on the smooth field. Come on, church. Hallelujah. It'll put gas in the car that's out of gas. Come on, church. If we can believe God, if thou canst but believe, all things are possible. And if you get real faith, nobody has to ask you why you ain't in church. You're preaching to the choir, really? I ain't hearing none of you singing. What are you talking about? Do you know why you need to go to church? Because it is here is the one place in this world you can fight Satan on his own territory. Well, I fight Satan every day. Yeah, with tangibles. You're going to talk to him. You're going to run from him. You're going to have struggles with him. But in the house of God, while we're here together worshiping, it's where we get the weapons we need to fight him. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal. I can't shoot him with a gun. I can't stab him with a knife. I can't hit him with something and make him quit. But if I get in the house of God and get a hold of an anointing of the Holy Spirit of God, amen, and I get a hold of the weapons of God's power and his anointing, then I got the weapons to fight him on his territory. And it's not that, but he also said I can tear down his strongholds. I can be an overcomer through his power because I let my faith move beyond my ability into God's ability. I move beyond my life into God's life, and I become what God wants me to be, and that is a lighthouse in a lost and dying world to let them know I got a God that can do it. back to the outline. Listen. So I know some of y'all want me to finish up on faith. But I don't mean I won't come back to it later. But we need to understand how faith works, how it operates in our life. We choose to live. Abraham chose to leave Ur of Chaldee when it didn't make no sense. I don't know if y'all understand it or not, but that's some of the most fertile soil in the world. He left it to go live in a desert because this voice spoke to him out of the sky. Come on, church. Wouldn't you like to sing that conversation? Where are you going? I got no idea. What are you going to do when you get there? I don't know yet. Why are you going? I've been hearing these voices. But he made it. And because of that, he became the patriarch of every major religion in this world. A rank heathen gets his name changed and his life changed. And he gets to be the head of every major religion. Every major religion in this world looks to him as their patriarch because he is the father of most of us. Hello? Amen. Why? Because he chose to believe God when he had no reason to do so. He chose to follow God when he had no reason to do so. The Bible said Abraham, when believing God, became God's friend, began to move in God. Noah believed God, built a boat in the middle of a desert. Well, actually a wilderness. There's a big difference. A desert, you got sand. Wilderness, you got rocks. Lord. I went to the West Bank in Israel, and I found out why they fought with rocks. A lot of ammo laying around. Lord. Very little sand, but they had a lot of ammo. Lord. Can you imagine how dumb he looked building a boat the size of the ark in a place where the creek barely was big enough to get a good drink out of? Huh? Yet he's out there working on it. His boys are helping him. Everybody's making fun of him. But the Bible said by faith, Noah built an ark to the saving of his house. Because when the water came, they was in the boat. Why? Because of faith. Hello? I'm hurrying. We're saved by faith. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace we are saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm not saved because I'm good. I'm saved because he's good. I'm not saved because I died. I'm saved because he died for me. And he paid the price for my sin. And now I have the right to acquisition that price into my life through faith in him. Because I believe in him. Everything prior to the day I asked him into my life is covered by his blood. Hello? When God looks at me, he sees me through Jesus' tinted eyeglasses. Oh, that's good stuff. Glory. I just thank God he don't see me for who I was before God got a hold of me. I wouldn't have a shot. And I see some of y'all with that little smirk on your face like y'all just wonderful. You wouldn't have had a shot either. Doesn't matter how good you lived, you were still bad. You know why? I'm not saved by my works. God said you are saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves, because frankly, we ain't got no works. Hello? Man, listen, the Bible said my works at best, my righteousness at best is like filthy rags up beside what God got. But his righteousness is the ability to set me free of that once held me down. And now because I have been born again into the house of God through faith, I have a right to him to obtain mercy because he is a God that overlooks what used to be, because in this is love that God gave himself that he might become a propitiation, a cover for my sins. And not by my might nor my mind power, but his grace, his love, his mercy. I've got a right to believe I can live in him forever and forever and forever. Come on, church. Live by faith. Trust the Lord. Thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. Whew. That's what living for God's all about. Hello? The Bible tells me in Hebrews 12, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with a great cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hello? He was happy about the fact he got to die for us. We ought to be happy that we get to die for him. Oh, come on, church. That's good stuff. Amen. If we consciously believe that God is able, we are able to overcome. Listen, faith is an attitude in which acknowledging our complete insufficiency for any of the high ends of life, we rely utterly on the sufficiency of God. We got to get to that place where we understand, I can't make it, but God can. My faith in God's what takes me through. My faith in God's what changes my life. My faith in God's what makes me able to get up in the morning and overcome everything that is around me. Because I have now tapped into his character, I want to live like him. Listen, church, I don't serve God because of his gifts. You ever heard this? I serve God because he healed me. Then you got the wrong idea and you're doing it wrong. If the only reason you serve him for what you're going to get from him, you ain't no better than a kid that keeps coming to mom and daddy wanting something. And when mom and daddy can't give it, they blow. The devil likes people like that because all you got to do is hold up your blessings and you'll give up on God. I got somebody looking at me, well, why would you serve him? No. You serve him because you love him. You serve him because he loves you. You serve him because you realize he is a holy God. He is a righteous God. He is a God that won't lie. Which means if he said, I'm going to deliver you, he'll deliver you. If he said, I'm going to heal you, he'll heal you. My God is incapable of lying, whereas the devil tells lies on a regular basis. But I know without a doubt that I've got a God that I believe in, not because he's going to do something for me. I believe in him because he's a holy, righteous, and a loving God that's going to take care of me. And if he never does anything for me, I still love him, and I still believe in him, and I'm still going to serve him because he is God. Stand with me all over the house. Glory. It's 11:06 yesterday. I still got an hour. There are people under the sound of my voice. That you came into church this morning with your whole community with you. You came to church with depression, anxiety, and fear. Doubt. But I've got a God that wants to put assurance in your life that he is able to meet every need in your life. People of this world are looking for answers in all the wrong places. You're never going to find answers in the bottom of a bottle. You're never going to find the answers at the end of a little line of white powder. You're not ever going to smoke your way to peace with weed. But there is peace that passes all understanding. And if you get hooked on this peace, you ain't got to rob or steal to be able to keep a high. You just got to learn how to pray and seek his face. And the more you seek him, the higher you get. The more peace you find.
the more joy you have, because He is who He is. I really feel like the Spirit of God's moving through this house, because there's someone under the sound of my voice this morning, you're not really where you need to be with Him. And you walk in this building full of doubt and anxiety, because you've never really found the true answer. The true answer to what can happen in your life if you really turn Him loose in you. But I really feel like there's somebody under the sound of my voice right now. You need to choose God. Choose to have faith in Him. Choose to believe He's the answer. Choose to believe He can solve those problems. Choose to believe He can provide your needs according to His riches and glory. Choose to believe He can heal the wounded heart, the broken soul, the tattered mind. If you just turn it over to Him right now. Father in heaven, I thank You for Your love. God, into Your hands I commend this congregation, every heart, every life, every soul. God, have Your way in Jesus' name. Touch with Your glory. Move with Your power. For one moment, I want to wait. If you're here, God's speaking to you, you feel God pulling on you, I want you to head to the front of this building. Don't worry about what anybody in this building is going to think about you. Worry about the fact that God is talking to you and He's giving you the opportunity of your life to talk to Him. This is where real peace comes from. This is where real joy comes from. This is where we find the answers to our life that only we can receive. Is there anyone else who would like to join our sister in the altar? God wants to touch you. God wants to minister you.
Trusting in His holy word. He's never failed.
It's time to believe God to set you free today. Father, let Your love move on every heart, every life, every soul that is here today. Touch us with Your anointing. Move on us, God, with Your grace. Master, in Jesus' precious name.